Hi, I'm Eureka John, and I'm at the Unrestricted Intelligence Summit, and covering this pretty amazing event about AI, and there's a lot of intersection of AI and Web3, and there's some amazing people here today. The energy here is very inspirational, and everybody seems really motivated to try to create a decentralized reality for us in the future with AI. And I have one of the speakers here with me, and she was talking a lot about cosmology, and I want to get into a little bit about that term and how it intersects with AI. So tell me your name, a little bit about yourself, and what you do.
So I'm Melissa Turner. Currently, I live in San Francisco. And historically, I've been a nomad for about 25 years. I originally started nomading because I essentially became a missionary at the age of 18. I volunteered on a floating hospital ship in the Philippines for a year. And that kind of started me out in like service. Did that from 99 to about 2005. And from there, I went to art school. And then from there, did a lot of art, amazing art projects. And then kind of have found my way into being a tech gal. I'm a pro technologist. I'm not like someone operating the tech, but I'm like someone who's very committed to where tech is moving with us and where we're moving with tech. I love this moment. So I'm just here for it.
Amazing. Yeah. So you're not actually there coding it, but you like to see where tech is steering our humanity in a sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did try to do some coding, and honestly, I am committed to doing a marine grade boot camp. I really am. But I think my energy is best utilized actually creating spaces for transformation. And I also love diving deep into analysis, and I kind of consider myself like a cultural producer. So work on the like curation side and research side.
Okay. And during your presentation, the one thing that stood out to me is how there's a lot of people that are going to be left behind with what's going on with AI. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that's definitely a concern of mine. You know, it's actually pretty related to being a missionary, because like just being an evangelist and having a heart for service, you automatically find people that are going to be left behind and you want to share the good news with them. So with tech, my mom is a widow. She's a widow at this time. And when my dad died, I literally had to take her in under my care. I had to show her how to use a debit card. Like at the gas pump, I had to, you know, like my dad took care of everything, and they lived a kind of traditional life that way. And I really felt like my mom was going to get left behind, and I had to do everything for her. And I think that she wants to step into a completely new way of being herself in the world. But the gravity field is almost too much sometimes, because there's not a lot of like space set up for her success, because everything's moving so fast and changing so fast. So when ChatGPT came out, I was so excited about it. I was sharing it with everyone. So you got to try this. You got to try this. And then when the vocal one came out, I was like, oh, now you really have to try it. It's so easy. I started sharing it with my mom, and she wanted to bite. But she couldn't, there was something blocking her from talking to it. And I was like, no, you just use natural language. And, you know, she actually told me one day in a text, she wanted to write a book and she wanted like help with it based, you know, using ChatGPT or another, like she's using Poe. And I thought, wow, okay, I can't be the one like answering her text three times a day. So what could I do? I could look up a library that could have a tech service, or then I was like, wait a minute, this could actually be a market where we create like access as a service space for people to come in. And essentially my idea is if we work in a 24-hour fitness had a child, and that child would be a space where people could come and learn about tech. They could take tech classes, multi-generational. There could be people with curriculum. There could be people onboarding other people into Web3. And it's not about fitness, but it's about technical fitness. So creating a technical fitness quotient, and people bring up their tech fitness.
Mm. It's almost like a new subject that's been developed of technical literacy that,
yeah,
this is being lost on a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think like, because, and it was mentioned, in the question period of my talk, but there's so much stuff coming at us, and it's hard not to want to gather everything. But then when you gather everything, it just spoils. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be like discerning of what you need. And if you don't know what you need, then you need to find ways to know like how you need to go about utilizing some of these tools. And because they're all tools, you just need to know why you need the tool. So I think for people like my mom, I mean, I'm 43. So to be honest, I'm also being left behind in some ways.
Me too. I'm 48. So.
Like, I can't get at it fast enough. Like you do not want to see my Twitter bookmarks. I need an LLM just for my Twitter bookmarks.
Oh man.
But it's just like, I don't see the information overloads slowing down, mm-hmm. you know, and I actually don't choose to opt out of it right now because there's so many important things that are happening, and I personally want to be a part of it, you know, and I want my mom to be a part of it, and, you know, I want your mom to be a part of it. And mm-hmm. I think that we have to find ways to get people included. Mm-hmm. And if we don't advocate for those kinds of, it may have to start as spaces, and yeah. like people are like, why can't you do it online? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think my mom would go into it as deep if it was online.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree.
So, yeah.
One of your slides said cosmology as a service. Can you break that down a little bit? I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I just actually made that up this morning, but I was thinking, you know, like, okay, I'm really curious about cosmologies. Because we're at this point where we're actually trying to figure out how to get to Mars. And then we're also creating all these optics and technologies and rockets that are going so deep into space and sending information back to us that is going to likely blow our minds. And so, like, on that macro scale, there is so much new information coming out. And then on the micro scale, there's also so much new information coming out. And then because of AI, that's actually creating a completely like alternate side scale. So I just think, wow, we're at this moment where we really are kind of, we are having a completely new vantage point. Mm. It's being shaped and shifted right in front of our eyes. And similarly, like the startup that I'm doing, we have to train our own perception, and we have to know how to guide someone. So like I could literally like guide you into a perceptive exercise, for example, and that would allow for you to be a participant, a co-participant, and a participant in shaping this cosmology that we're all kind of like coming into. And I'm not like a philosopher, but I definitely get a really strong sense that we're on the brink of a cosmological like explosion of some kind, like some
like a Cambrian explosion.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I guess if you break down the word cosmology, it's logos, which is a word, and cosmos, which is world. So it's the word of the world, or the how we speak out our worldview, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. It, yeah. And like, I'm also really interested in like, I didn't put it on the slide. I thought about it. So I thought about cosmology as a service, and then world making 2.0.
Okay.
So we have world, like world making is kind of a thing for some people, especially with video games and people in the like sense making space and all that. But when you put AI into the mix, there's like an accelerant to that.
Yeah.
And not only an accelerant of speed, but it's like a flooding of data. And so something about that surface area to me feels very important to wrap our understanding around. When we add surface area to a bubble, it gets larger in areas that we haven't like expected.
Okay.
And that's just like my mind illustrates that. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're adding new values to something that we never had those values before.
Interesting. Yeah. AI is commodifying a lot of things like art and music and writing and photography, like you and several of the people in the audience mentioned. But at the same time, you can always kind of tell it's AI, you know? And so is that going to create a new value for human made art and all that? And with blockchain, that human madeness, I guess, being verifiable on the blockchain, will that create a whole different market or worldview perspective as well?
Well, because I was just at ETH Denver, were you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the main exhibition hall, there was the group called IYK.
IYK?
They were doing the Biddle shop.
Okay,
so you get
yeah.
the Biddle points.
Uh-huh.
It was across from the ETH Denver shop.
Yes.
And they have these patches, and they have like a lot of designer and creators in their community that create the streetwear, essentially, that they are offering. And the way I think of it is that there is going to be, I sense, a lot of the art that's been created in the past like 20, 30 years. I'm not saying all, but a lot of it turns out to just be noise. There's not, I mean, there's not a lot of like true signal out there.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, even like the like blue chip artists who are at the art fairs and are in museums, they might be a moment of signal, but the rest of the time it's just noise. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look for personally, like as someone who has cultivated a way to see through.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people want to create things, and I'm so pro creation, like just, yeah, try your hand at doing this. But I think that because now everybody has access to these tools, sure, it's going to move out the noise.
Okay.
And it's going to reduce the noise and actually bring up the signal. So people who we would have called them artisans like 100 years ago,
yes,
and we
yeah.
may be calling them artisans again, but now those people who are truly devoted to being like the craftspeople, the art, the artists who are like on the cutting edge of, you know, like seeing through the zeitgeist and like actually framing where they're part of this cosmological creation. Those people will have a lot easier time because they have been working with signal.
I see.
You get it?
And yeah. Like, so the AI kind of will filter out all the noise, and it'll bring back the canvas stretchers, you know, the
And
people like that.
It'll bring back people that, like, I think of it as like there are people who are truly devoted to creating things.
Okay.
You know, and you can always tell, like, when you're in a room full of these artist types, because the ones who are really dedicated, they may not be as boisterous and they're not trying to like hobnob with the VCs and the this and the that.
Yeah.
And so there's that part. And then on-chain stuff is super interesting because like I brought up the IYK thing because there is something where you want to support that. And I don't know like psychologically where I want to track like how that relates to going. I go to farmers markets, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to farmers markets because I want to support local produce, for one.
Sure. Yeah.
Two, I like the quality of the food better.
Mm-hmm.
Three, I think it's better for the environment. You know, it's like I can go all down the line. So I can relate that experience to these like smaller niche designer, artisan, craft people. And then having it on chain also creates almost like a amplification or like a sounding that can ripple out. And so to me, it creates almost like another surface area of that marketplace where they have more visibility broadly and globally, whereas before they would have just been like, oh, a farmer here who sells eggs in Austin is probably not known in Dallas. So that's just my sense of it. I just like,
That's absolutely amazing. So there is a merging of artisan and technologies like blockchain. So it's not something that is just, you know, would make it obsolete or commodified.
I mean, I'm not like a practicing artist right now. I definitely approach my day like an artist. But I think I probably could get into an interesting argument with a lot of people who are getting paid as artists because they might feel differently. But if I was just going to say, like, from the like the side where I'm tracking patterns, I think that the people who are just here for the noise, they're going to get like washed out.
I agree with that too. So what is the name of your project and where can people find out about it?
So the name of the project is Milieu, and it's spelled M-I-L-L-U.
M-I-L-L-U. Okay.
Yeah, but it's
not like milieu.
But it is actually. It's from that word.
Okay.
So it's like the French word milieu. But it's milieu because of the like, I wanted to give it a like an English anglophone phonic spin. But it's milieu.ai and we just have a landing page up. But I mean, we've been in it for a couple months. But we're still pretty early on. Just kind of like, we want a bootstrapped layer before we bring in any kind of money. Because we want to have some more agency than I think we would get if we had taken a lot of money.
Because then you have to do something for some kind of outside entity rather than be fully in control of what the direction you want to take it.
I mean, it's interesting because like to me all money is not created equal. And some money, some capital that comes in, it might buy you a particular brand of freedom to work in a particular way, but then you have these sharks on you. And if you haven't, my sense is that if you don't have like life experience of depth of field in time, you might think 2 years is 10 years. You know? And like, if you're getting like a couple million dollars and you're just being fed this thing, it's almost like rat poison to me. So I am not.
No, that's a really good perspective and a much needed voice, I think, especially now that the bull market's hit and people are gonna be firing on all cylinders. So.
Well, here's my sense. I watch the macro scene a lot because I just love those kind of patterns. And because of what's going in AI, going on in AI, and because of this like arms race with AGI, and then because of our presidential election, I know that this bull market is going to be massive, but it's not going to be massive in the way that the other one was because they don't want a distraction where, because people are really distracted by those kinds of gains. So they want it so that any kinds of like massive gains don't get pooled up into the wrong types of hands because we have to keep our focus on like scaling, and I'm just generalizing, but they don't want the focus to be like turned away to, you know, this flex culture and everything else downstream from that. I think that it's going to be interesting how this all starts unfolding because it's going to be, instead of like a domino effect, to me, it's going to be like, if you ever see those satellites in space that are actually made of origami and they just blossom, they have these satellites that It's on Nova.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's phenomenal. So it's like a satellite that is actually folded like origami. It is origami.
Okay. Yeah.
And so once it gets up there and they basically deploy this thing, it's like opening up like, you know, just like a flower.
Like a lotus flower.
Yeah. And it's got like all these intricate folds.
Yeah.
So
it's insane.
Yeah. And I think that that's how this flood of capital is going to come in. So I'm always curious to hear analysis on that. And
Cool. Well, before we go, do you have any announcements you want to make for Miliu, or are you just going to keep it on the DL for now?
Announcements? I mean, if you're someone that is interested in creating like access and exposure for people who have no experience with tech, please reach out. My Twitter is 01, and that is Z-E-E-R, and then the number 0, and then W-A-N, and my name is Melissa Turner.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.